You're like that little boy that got irritated the store owner in the old country store, and they kept swiping little taste of the molasses out of the barrel until the storekeeper got mad and one day threw him into the barrel. As he sank out of sight, they heard him pleading for the tongue to match the opportunity he was receiving. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. I want to read two passages. In fact, let's turn to Psalm 119 first. That's the theme verse. And I want to read that. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. Before we read, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you to be able to be in your house. We thank you for this church. We thank you, dear God, for its testimony and for its legacy and for all the work that's been done here through the years. We thank you, dear God, for the good spirit that's always present in this place. And we pray that you would bless the efforts of the church tonight to have a revival, to have a stirring, to have a special time of feeding of your word. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help all of us to pray that we would be in the place this week where you could pour your blessings out upon us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless the whole rest of the night. Bless Brother Bryant as he comes to preach in a few minutes. And we ask that if there be any here that are unsaved, that you'd make them so aware of that they couldn't stand it, and that they would come forward, that they would humble themselves, repent of their sin, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 119, verse 17, I'm going to read the whole stanza. The psalmist said, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I'm a stranger in the earth." That's why I was especially convicted, burdened by his need, a stranger in this earth. He needed the word of God. He said, "Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." And I want to read that 18th verse again. He said, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And now turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and in verse 15. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that Brother Bryant referred and may have quoted a little bit of this passage this morning. In Ephesians 1 and 15, the psalmist has prayed, "Lord, open my eyes." He's prayed that for himself, that I may behold wondrous things. And now the Apostle Paul is making the same kind of prayer for others. He said, "Wherefore I also..." Does this sound familiar? It's almost identical to the text this morning. "After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus..." And notice all the apostles were so concerned about this in all their writings. He said, "After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." Amen. That's one of the surest signs of salvation and evidences that a person's really saved. "Cease not," he said, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Please be seated. And so in these two verses, the psalmist said, "Open thou mine eyes, open my eyes that I may behold." And he's praying for himself. And many of us know that there are times that we're reading the Scripture, we're studying the Scripture, and we'll just stop sometimes and say a special prayer, cry out to God, "Help me to understand this. Help me to get this." And so the psalmist has prayed for himself, and the apostle Paul has prayed for others, and he's praying about this matter of spiritual eyesight. You know, when you think about the senses, the physical senses, when you look in the Bible, you find that there is a spiritual sense for every one of those senses. For example, the sense of hearing. In Matthew 13 and 9, Jesus said, "He who hath ears, let him hear." Amen. Spiritual ears, spiritual hearing. Some people have it, and some people don't have it. But if you're saved, you have it. Now, your hearing may have waned a little bit. You may not hear like you used to hear, and that's probably because of a backslidden condition. If you're not hearing things like you once heard them. But nevertheless, there is this spiritual hearing. Jesus wrote to all seven churches, to each of them, to the churches. And he said to the churches, he said, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Amen. There's a sense, a spiritual sense of hearing. There's a spiritual sense of feeling. Amen. Thank God for that. In Acts 17 and verse 27, Paul said that the lost, he said, they should seek the Lord if happily they may feel after Him. That's when you long after Him. You're lost. You're under conviction. You know that salvation is real. And you feel like you want to be saved more than anything else in the world. There's a spiritual kind of feeling, and there's a spiritual sense of taste.
Amen.
Amen. The psalmist said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Amen. Get a good taste. We get a little taste of spiritual things when we go to the Lord's house. Amen. And there's a sense of spiritual sense of smell. In Philippians 4:18, Paul said, "I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And then there's that sense of sight. Amen. A sense of sight. The seeing things with spiritual eyes. Amen. You either have it or you don't have it. Now, both of these men that spoke in our text tonight, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, were saved men. They could see things that other people couldn't see with the eyes of faith, with spiritual eyes. Some people, they're not able to see anything. I'm going to deal with that in just a minute. Some people, they just can't see it. They can't see that they're lost. They can't see that. They can't see that this or that or the other thing is wrong. They can't see it. There's a reason for that. And it ought to be a convicting reason. If you cannot see what's as plain as anything could be, but you can't see it. Other people can see it, but you can't see it concerning the things of God. Well, I want to say a few things tonight as quickly as I can about open eyes, about spiritual sight. And I'm going to talk specifically about spiritual eye trouble. Because we got a lot of spiritual eye trouble today, Brother Kuhn. A lot of spiritual eye trouble. And I'm not looking at the lost that are as blind as bats spiritually. But we're talking about saved people tonight. It was the psalmist. It was a saved man. It was saved people that Paul was praying for open eyes. So I want to talk about the reality of spiritual eye trouble. Amen. The reality of it and reason for it. There's a whole lot of it. There's a reason for all of the spiritual eye trouble there is in the churches of God today. And then the result of spiritual eye trouble. It's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. But thank God there's a remedy for spiritual eye trouble. And so let's look at this reality of spiritual eye trouble. And I was amazed when Brother Farrell called me and he asked me to touch on this theme, at least to refer to the theme. And but I was amazed when I started getting in. It hadn't been long since I'd preached through Psalm 119. And so I got out my old notes and kind of gave them a glance, but so many things were coming to mind, Brother Bryant. And I began to, verses started to come so quickly. The Bible says so much about spiritual sight. There's so much. This is just a grain of sand on a seashore of Scripture that could be referred to and things that could be said. And I appreciated something Brother Steve said in the Sunday school lesson this morning, especially, and it had to do with people today not seeing things, Christians not seeing things like Christians used to see things. Now, this is very obvious, it's very apparent, it's very evident that Christian people in the times we're living do not see things that Christians have plainly seen for generations. But today, apparently, they don't see it. Christians today, a whole bunch of them, have got some serious eye problems because they cannot see things today that they're failing to see things that Christians have always been able to see. Amen. Christians have never had any trouble seeing things before that people who profess to be Christians today, they can't see it today. They don't see it. We're living in terrible days of darkness and disingenuousness. I mean, you can fool other people, but it's terrible when you're fooling yourself. Amen. We got a lot of Christians who can't see today what Christians have always seen. A lot of spiritual myopia, nearsightedness. A lot of spiritual farsightedness. Christians are, you know, I think about that. I tell you, so many thoughts came to mind in this, on all of these points. But you know, a lot of Christians are farsighted, Brother Shepherd. In other words, they can see the lost and dying 10,000 miles away. But they've never let forth so much as a chipmunkian chirp to the lost person they've lived next door to for 10 years. Oh, but they can see the lost far away. Hey, I'm not buying that. I'm not interested in their call to the mission field. When they've never, don't even show up for visitation. They got that farsightedness. They can't see things close to home. They're seeing things today that are wrong, and they're calling them right now. Isaiah and Ezekiel had a lot to say about that, and so did Jeremiah. Christians today are seeing things that are different, obviously different. Here's one of them. There's a whole bunch more. And calling them the same. It doesn't matter. I don't have time to get into it, but I had a talk with a young preacher. He's not that young. You ought to know better. I knew more than he did when I was 21 years old, right after I got saved, apparently, and he's known for the last 30 years. He's got a spiritual problem. He says certain things don't matter. Doesn't make any difference. Things that have always mattered to believers and always made a difference. People seeing things that are obviously wrong and calling them right. Things that are unbiblical and saying they're biblical. Amen. Boy, we've got a lot of that. We could go around the room and bring it up today. Now it's biblical. Somebody mentioned this. I was referred to it, said just recently. Almost every Christian used to know that a divorced man shouldn't be pastoring a church. Amen. Wasn't biblical.
Right.
Today they're saying it's biblical, Brother Bryant. Amen. Some of the people that used to say it wasn't biblical, now they're saying it is biblical. And the reason men do that, a lot of young preachers are confused. They say, why do older men that had this stand before now have this different position? It's because they never had any stand before. They're going with the flow, whatever is popular and marketable and will draw a crowd and not lose anybody. Amen. It's time to see things like they really are. And Christians are failing to see things that Christians never had any trouble seeing before. And Christians are falling for and they're falling over things that they wouldn't have fallen for before. Amen. There's an unprecedented carelessness and gullibility today. And it's because of these spiritual eye problems. I'll say a little more about that later. But here's the reality of spiritual eye trouble. I don't think anybody here would say amen to what I've just said. We got some real problems. You wonder why can't you see this? I use this illustration on a lot of things. A whole lot of things. I say if you went to the backside of the Australian bush and found a totally naked Aborigine savage and brought him home with you and taught him plain English and gave him a King James Bible to read and asked him the questions that are controversial now, he'd look at you like you were crazy and say, this is as plain as day.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Well, there's a reason for spiritual eye trouble today. And I'm going to list just a few things. Just some springboards for your own thoughts. But spiritual eyes are closed today. And one reason is because of inappropriate sleep. Amen. People have gone to sleep. Amen.
Right.
Sleep is a good thing, but being a sloth, a spiritual sloth, is not a good thing.
Right.
Some people's eyes are closed because they're inappropriately sleeping. In Romans 13:11, Paul said this. And this verse is key for our day. He said that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. This is not the day to be asleep. It's the time to wake out of sleep. He said, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Not the salvation of our soul, but our final redemption. The Lord is coming to change these vile bodies. Matthew 25 and verse 3, the Bible says, and some of you may disagree with this, but that's okay. The Bible gives the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The 5 foolish ones were foolish because they didn't take enough oil in their lamps.
Right.
Amen. Now they had oil. They ran out of oil.
Right.
But they had oil. The Bible makes it plain. Brother Hall, they had oil.
Right.
All 10 of them had oil.
Right.
You don't have oil and then lose your oil spiritually if you're a lost person.
Right.
You never had any oil.
Right.
Amen. They lost their oil, let their oil run out because they were sleepy-headed.
Right.
Amen. And that's why people get backslidden today. Because they get sleepy-headed spiritually. And they grieve the Holy Spirit. When they don't listen to sermons like they used to listen to sermons. When they don't go to the altar like they used to go to the altar. When they're not burdened for sinners like they used to be burdened for sinners. When reading the Bible doesn't thrill them like it used to thrill them. They grieve and quench the Holy Spirit. And the oil of the Holy Spirit runs low. A lot of people today are inappropriately asleep, and that's why their eyes are closed. In Isaiah 56 and verse 10, God lays the blame right where it belongs. He said, their watchmen are blind.
Yep.
We got a lot of blind watchmen today.
Right.
Amen. And you know what? More and more they need to be told that. They're as blind as bats, crazy as loons. Amen. Amen. And drawing a pastor's salary. Watchmen are blind. He said they're all ignorant. It gets worse. He says they're dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Amen. People's eyes are closed because of inappropriate sleepiness. And spiritual eyes are closed today because of the impairment of sin. Amen. Impaired eyesight. In other words, a lot of people have got a bad case of spiritual cataracts. Cataracts are defined like this, that it says eyes become dim and blurry and they get worse over time. And for some of you, you know all about that. That's what cataracts are. There's an epidemic of Christians with spiritual cataracts today. Their eyes have become covered over by the cataracts of their own sin. That's why they can't see anymore. Their eyes are covered over by their own sin. They're carnal, corrupt, commercialized, convenient, comfortable, carnival type, comedy club sort of Christianity and church has covered their eyes over with the cataracts of sin. Oh, they've lost the ability to blush. And the Christians have gotten in the darkness. Just about 20 miles from me is Merrimack Caverns. When I was a boy growing up, we had a little farm 2 miles from Merrimack Caverns. Well, we never got to go there. We lived 2 miles, never could go in and see it because we didn't have the $2 to get in. At least my dad didn't think we did. I'd always heard about those blind fish. After I got the grown, I went into the caves and the guide was pointing out these were blind fish. I don't know if it's true, but they say those fish get blind because they've been in those caves all their lives. That's the way it is with a lot of Christians today. They've been in the dark so long. You get in the dark, this world's darkness, worldly darkness, the dark alleys of sin in this world, and it is going to affect your eyesight. So it can be sleepiness, why people have their eyes closed and can't see. It can be the cataracts of sin, why they're not able to see like they ought to be able to see. Or they might have a more serious problem. They may have the kind of problem Nicodemus had. Amen. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There are a lot of people filling up church pews and chairs and auditoriums and pulpits who cannot see spiritual things because they don't have anything to see with. They do not have spiritual eyes. They're lost in sin and they can't see the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. They just can't see it. You try to explain the simplest things to Christians today about worldliness, they can't see it. They just don't see it. You point it out to them in the Bible. Amen. You explain the words to them. They're hardly more than 2-syllable words. A little child could understand what it's, but they can't see it. Now, I'm telling you, I'm afraid there's a lot deeper problem than we like to think about with a lot of people who have prominent places and have been there a long time in some of our churches. They can't see the things that pertain, Brother Moyes, to the kingdom of God. They cannot see it. They cannot see what's wrong with worldliness. That is insane. When a born-again believer indwelt by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the divine nature, when they can't see what's wrong with worldliness in a Christian, they've got a serious problem. Soon as God opened my eyes when I got saved, there were a number of things I recognized that I could not do that I used to do in the world. Boy, churches are full of people like that now. Serious eye trouble. And here's the result of it. Those are the reasons. But here's the result. People don't see the Savior right anymore. Amen. It's hard for them to see Him on His tree. Amen. They're not touched by a word picture from the Scripture of the Savior on the cross. They can't see it. They're untouched by it, unmoved by it. They can't see the depth of the deliverance that we have. I'm telling you, you go in a lot of churches, the songs we had tonight touched our hearts, moved us right away.
Amen.
You go in a lot of churches, and those songs do not move anybody.
Right.
That's why they're going to, listen, that's why they're going to all this trashy, commercial, jive music in churches. Because they're worldly.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And the reason for that, a lot of them have not been born again.
Yes.
I'm not one of these preachers that goes around and says, that one's not saved, that one's not saved, I don't think he's saved, I don't think she's saved. But some things are too plain to ignore. People don't see the Savior. They don't see the Savior's love anymore. Paul said, and you're in trouble when you can't see the depth of the Savior's love, because Paul said that it was the love of Christ that constrained him to do what he did. And they sure don't see His Lordship.
Right.
They don't see Him on His tree, and they don't see Him on His throne.
Right.
Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He was a man just like we are. And he got a vision of God high and lifted up and on His throne. People don't see the Scripture like they ought to see it anymore.
Right.
Amen. I say this again and again. I don't care if a man or a woman carries a Bible as big as the old-time telephone books. And it's got KJV in print that big on it. And they're not obeying it. I don't care if they carry in KJV and NIV and ESV and all the rest of the alphabet soup. That King James Bible is to be obeyed.
Amen.
If you don't want to obey it, you better get to the mourner's bench and find out why.
Amen.
People don't see the Word of God like they ought to see it. Preachers don't see it. They think the Bible, they act like the Bible's an ornament to sit on the pulpit. Because they sure don't refer to it during their sermons. Amen. It's like that preacher was saying, Brother Farrell was talking about this morning, that was preaching on how to preach so nobody gets helped. Just preach about yourself.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Tell a bunch of stories.
Yeah.
And all of that. The people don't see the Bible for what it is today. It is the perfect will of God, Word of God, and it is the power of God.
Amen.
Amen. A man may not have good delivery, may not be eloquent, and all of that kind of thing, but the power is in the Word of God.
Amen.
I went to visit my wife's aunt. She's in her 80s now, and I think I mentioned here one time, my wife came from six generations of Baptist preachers on both sides of her family. I believe there might have been one out on the other side. They had deacons fill in for him. But my wife's aunt had a little bundle, a little yellowed bundle of notepaper, just as brittle as could be, tied with a little piece of colored yarn. And it was some of her grandpa's sermon notes. And I had those laying on the corner of my desk for several weeks. And the other day I untied and I began to look at them. And his notepaper for each sermon was about like that. And he had pencil where he'd written out his notes. And words were misspelled. And just little thoughts here and there. And I thought, isn't that amazing? Because he preached for over 50 years And people were saved all during that time under his ministry.
Amen.
I sat under his preaching. It was powerful.
Amen.
Amen. And he wasn't one of these whiz bangs that everybody's waiting to get to come in and preach. That's not. He just preached the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. And people believed that he believed it.
Right.
Amen. And he depended on the Word of God.
Amen.
People don't recognize, they don't see the Bible for what it is today. And they're blind to the situation they're in. They're blind to our spiritual battle. I think it's accurate to say that we are in the darkest, most demonically, satanically driven times that Christians have ever been in.
Yes, sir.
But so much of professed Christianity, they don't see it that way at all.
Right.
It's one big revival across the land. Amen. They're blind.
Yes, sir, they are.
They're blind. They don't know who and they don't know where their adversaries are. I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to be funny. A lot of people in some churches, they think their adversaries, Brother Hall, is the pastor and his wife.
Yeah.
I kid you not.
Yes, sir.
That's what some people think, and they'll try to get other people got lined up with them.
Amen.
They think the enemy is that group of people in the church that want to live right and live for God and raise their children right.
Amen.
And they're putting a drag on everybody else and holding the church back. They don't know who their adversaries are. Ephesians 6 and 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Their adversary is not the pastor and his wife. Their adversary is the devil putting that in their minds. But against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But here's something just as sad. They don't know who their allies are. Amen. The psalmist said, my help cometh from the hills. Amen. God is my refuge. But so many Christians today, they can't see who their allies are. They're looking for great preachers to come in and bring revival in their briefcase. Amen. They come in with their what they call sugar stick sermons. Amen. I am not trying to be mean tonight, but listen, we do not have time to be mincing words anymore.
Right.
These guys that are running all over the country and they got their popular sermons, and they'll even put them out on the table. This is my most popular sermon.
Yeah.
I've seen it for sale. What a shame.
Yeah.
What a shame. In 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 17, some of God's best people seem to forget who our allies are.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You remember when Elisha, they sent a whole band, somehow he had discernment. And every time that old wicked king got a plan together, Elisha ratted him out.
Yes, sir.
He told on him. He knew just he discerned. So the king sent out a whole bunch of troops. And when the troops all got there, and they seemed like they had Elisha and his servant surrounded, Elisha was cool as a cucumber, but his servant was about to have a heart attack. And Elisha prayed, the Bible says in 2 Kings 6 and 17, and he said, Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he may see. A lot's been said about prayer tonight. Our churches need to pray.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Amen. We need to acknowledge where our help comes from.
Amen.
He said, open his eyes and he'll see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
Amen.
Amen. We've got to cultivate a dependency upon God. Christians don't see this either. I've touched on it a second, but Christians don't see separated living and personal, practical, progressive sanctification. They don't see it today. In my lifetime, I've seen it getting rarer and rarer and rarer. It's not a cultural thing. People say, oh, that's just a cultural thing. You know, this matter of women's dress, that's one of the clearest examples. It's just a cultural thing. So McDonald's needs to catch up then, and Wendy's and all the rest of them putting those signs on their bathroom doors, right? Hey, man, I was thinking about this before I heard that Brother Farrell had preached on it. It needs to be preached on in a lot of places.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I know several men that they believe like the Bible says and like they were brought up, and but their wives don't.
Right.
Yeah, I run into it now and then. Mm-hmm. They're the kind of men when their wives want their opinion, their wives will give it to them. Amen. Man. One said to me not long ago, he said, I know that's what the Bible teaches. I know that's right, but I just can't get my wife and my daughter. That's the way it is.
Yep.
Amen. Yeah. It's not a cultural thing. It is a concrete commandment of God.
Amen.
A man shall not wear that which pertaineth to a woman, and a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man.
Right.
What does that exactly mean? Here's what I say. Take a guess. Yeah, take a guess. I've seen people with graduate degrees want to argue about that. And now we're just about over the precipice with it because I don't know what the percentage is of independent Baptist pastors whose wives are running around in their pants and their slacks. They think people who believe that just crawled out of the woodwork and never got past the third grade.
Yep, right.
It doesn't matter whether you got past the third grade or you've been to university, taught in university. Anybody that'll read the Word of God and be honest about what it says knows that men are to celebrate what God did when He made them a man.
Amen.
And women are to celebrate what God did when He made them a woman and not have anything about a man or woman to suggest they wish they were the other way.
Amen.
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 It's sickening.
Yes, sir.
It's the insanity of sin.
Yes, sir.
I grew up believing that women wanted to look nice.
Yes, sir.
They wanted to be attractive. It's insanity of sin. Any woman that thinks that it makes them more attractive to put on a man's pants, you say, well, there's women's pants, there's frilly, and there's this color and that color, and come off it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Now, some people just don't know any better.
Right.
I'm not getting after people like right. that. Some people are brand new, and there might be somebody like that here tonight. I'm not ragging on you. I'm talking about people who have been in church for years, who know better, and they're rebellious. And rebellion, remember, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I'm just telling you, our church is looking for a pastor, and we've got a percentage, Brother Moyes, that don't agree with what I just said. They don't want me to know it, but I do know it. But we are not going to settle for a man if he's got all of the other qualifications and he is too stupid or disingenuous to understand what Deuteronomy 22 and Brother Gary, if he can't figure that out, he has no business trying to preach and teach and lead and set an example for other Christians. And any church that gets into that mode, some of our men said the other night, if our church is going to go that direction, then we need to just fold up and go merge with one of these worldly independent Baptist churches nearby.
Amen.
Man. Well, hurry on. Now, believers can't see the importance of holiness. Get a concordance and just look up the word holy. Look up the word holiness. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness.
Right.
Holiness. I remember when I was going to church after I got saved in those country churches, and men would come. They never owned a suit in their life. They wouldn't have known how to tie a tie if they, if their life depended on it. They put on the best overalls they had when they went to church. Amen. And that was just fine.
Yes, sir.
But when people want to go to church when they can do better and they come before the Almighty Living God, dressed like they just slid out from under a car on a creeper.
Yeah.
Amen. That, I'm telling you, that's disgusting. You know what their problem is? They're men pleasers. They're coming into the presence of God. Amen. Somebody said something about behavior in the church of God this morning, and I really appreciated that. Amen. This is God's house. That doesn't mean we act like a bunch of monks. But it does mean that we're conscious that we're coming into the presence. Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in your midst. You either believe that or you don't believe it. Amen. Believers can't see the signs of the times today because of this eye trouble. They look at what's going on today and they can't make any connections. They can't come to any conclusions. We are going, when America is gone, freedom and liberty in the world is gone.
Yes, sir. I believe that's right.
And all of this stuff that's going on in America, I would have never dreamed it in my wildest nightmare. Believers can't see the problem with themselves. This is where it gets real personal. Believers got eye problems today and they can't see the problem with themselves. Whole churches. The Laodicean church, remember the Lord said, because thou sayest, this is the way they saw themselves. I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. The Lord said, hey, something's wrong with your eyes. Because you don't know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked.
That's right.
Amen. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. James said, take a good look in the mirror of God's Word.
Amen.
We got a lot of Christians today that are spiritually dirty. Amen. They're as dirty as they can be. They like to listen to dirty stuff, watch dirty stuff, dress dirty, talk dirty. They're spiritually disobedient. And they're spiritually dumb. Sometimes it's hard for me to tell whether people are dumb or they're devious. Amen. I had dealings with somebody like that a couple of months ago. First, I thought it was just because of their youth and that they were just dumb. Then I found out they were dumb like a fox or a wolf. Amen. The Christians can't see themselves. They can't see themselves that they're deceived. Eye trouble. And then Christians can't see souls like they used to. I remember in those old church services and people would just flock into the altar to pray for lost people.
Yes, sir.
And they always had lost people present in the service or assumed that they did, might.
Right.
Amen. Get that, assumed that they might. Hey, there just might be somebody here that's lost. I'm going to go pray for them because this was a good, powerful message. The Spirit's working right now. And there might be somebody here that's unsaved, really, today.
Yes.
We don't see lost people like we used to. I said we, and I meant to say we. Now, that doesn't apply to everybody here, but I'm one to whom it does apply. I don't see it like I used to see it. I'm broken up and burdened about it. I'm making a change in it.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not saying I've quit giving out tracts and witnessing to people, but nothing compared to what it's been. Amen. Something is wrong when we just see people just merely as grocery clerks, gasoline attendants, salesmen, co-workers. And instead of, we see them as trees walking. Remember the man with eye trouble? Jesus touched his eyes. He said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. It was like Jesus said, that's not good enough.
That's right.
You need another touch.
Amen.
He said, I see all things clearly now.
Amen.
God opened John's eyes and he said in Revelation 20, I saw a great white throne.
Amen.
And those who stood before, and there was found no place for them.
Right.
And I saw them going into the lake of fire. But there's such eye trouble today that Christians see nothing. They're all about image. They're concerned about what other people are going to see. They want them to see glitz and image.
Right.
These pastors today running around, boy, these young pastors. And I'm not saying about all young pastors. But they get a hold of a church. They get a hold of a church, and for what they want to do, immediately they start getting new chairs, new pews, this, that, other. I mean, Brother Kuhn, the pews could have been there for 2 years. And they announce, we're getting rid of all of the pews. They announce, we're putting in chairs. Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, if they'd have done that when I was growing up as a Christian, somebody had stood up and said, what do you mean you announce? When did the church vote on that?
Right. Yeah.
Amen. They're all about image.
Yes, sir.
And they don't give a rip about lost souls.
Right.
Amen. They want a new sign, new carpet, fancy this and fancy that.
Right.
They never knock on a door all week long.
Yeah.
And they're hirelings.
Yes, right.
People better learn to see what a man of God is too.
Amen.
They got their eyes closed. Somebody comes in looking like some, he's got the glitz and the glamour and all of this. And, oh, wouldn't he be good with our young people? And, oh, look at that. What a nice looking guy. Oh, what a nice looking girl. Ken and Barbie are here. Thank. Oh. Churches are blind.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. We're not looking for a fashion horse. We're looking for a pastor in our church.
Amen.
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 There's a remedy for it. You get eye problems, you go to get an eye exam.
Right.
You can do a personal examination. The Bible says examine yourself whether you be in the faith.
Amen.
Amen. Better hurry. 2 or 3 years ago, I had an eye problem. I didn't pay attention to it and lost the sight in this eye. If I'd have gotten to it sooner, the doctor said it would have been easy to save your sight. But I tarried. And I got blinder and blinder and blinder in that eye. And if you're a Christian with eye trouble and you don't get it straightened up soon, you're going to get blinder and blinder and blinder.
That's right.
Amen.
Yep.
You may need to cry out to God to help you with that eye exam. You need to have some eye salve. Amen. I'll tell you the best kind of eye salve I know of. Years ago, I went to a church and they had a special singer come in. He was Rudy Atwood, who wrote that song, I Got a Mansion Just Over the Hilltop, I think, and he wrote Wash My Eyes with Tears. That's the song he sang. I never heard anybody sing it like he did, but he wrote it. He said he washed my eyes with tears that I might see. Amen. We sing the song in our churches. Brethren, we have met to worship. Amen. Brethren, see poor sinners around you on the brink of woe.
Yes, sir.
Can we bear to let them go?
Right.
But it starts with seeing them again.